Blog Talk Radio.
Extra point is up, and it is always good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard. And, you know, I keep calling myself the coach, but I don't have a team. Like, I don't, last November, I said, that's it. No more. Done. And I knew if I could get through spring ball, that that may well come true. Well, spring ball is wrapping up. It's definitely done in college. I think they've got maybe five more practices to go. High school starting 7-on-7. And that it just hasn't happened yet. Just hasn't happened. So who knows? I got till August 15th to figure it out. But right now I'm good just being the coach right here each and every Saturday morning on the Extra Points Radio Show. Good show today. We are looking forward to our pay attention topics as always. And then, of course, we're going to segue and just do an update. You know, every four or five shows, I like to do a DC sports up, see where our teams are, who's doing what, who's saying what, this, that, and the other. And with playoffs in the NBA and NHL, got plenty to discuss on that. Then at around the 10:40 hour, part of the hour, we will bring back Joy Henry, Fit with Joy, to give us a little. Conversation around, you know, we started it last week with this whole wrestling segment, and we do that because, you know, back in the day, wrestlers weren't the fittest of people. You know, guys were smoking cigarettes and drinking beers before and after their match, but that's really changed, and fitness is a big part of it. And so the WWE $8 billion deal is having their big Super Bowl weekend this weekend with WrestleMania, and so we're going to do a quick lightning round. She's going to ask me some questions. I'm going to comment and answer them to the best of my ability. I don't know what she's asking, so I'll be ready for that. And then, of course, prediction 27 and 25. Our predictions last week was for WrestleMania this week, so we'll go back to sports predictions. 27 and 25. So remember now, if I get to 500 in my picks, it's a free trip to Vegas. Don't know where that sponsor is yet to provide the funds for that trip, but it's something to strive for each and every week. So, anyway, let's dive into our pay attention topic. So last week I got all excited, but I guess I can say it this way, sum it up like this: Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. So I'm not even going to get into the allegation that he just cheated on his girlfriend again. I'm not even going to go there. I can't prove it. It's hearsay. It's internet rumor, or as I like to call it, innuendo and rumor. So I'm not going to get into it, that one. But I can get into, he barely made the cut. He was like plus four yesterday. Hit the ball in the water, this, that, and the other. And I'm scrambling on my phone because I'm running errands all day. I'm scrambling to see what has Tiger done. What has Tiger done? And every time I look at the leaderboard, sliding down, sliding down, sliding down. Tiger, come on, man. So now we're at Saturday. He made the cut, which at least, you know, gives us some hope. And they're talking about a miracle today and a miracle tomorrow. No, he's not going to be anywhere near the leaderboard, top of the leaderboard. And it will be, the Masters will be what it's been for a couple years for me, wonderful napping. That's what it is. It's great background theater for a nap. So that's what the Masters is going to be. So we could talk about Tiger and his two issues this week all day long, but we got another guy that's got an issue, another guy that's a good guy, but you never know who you're dealing with. Thomas Davis, Pro Bowl linebacker of the Carolina Panthers, who is retiring in 2018. So he's going to play 16 more games, and he's going to call it a career. This guy was first-round pick, picked 14th overall in the 2005 draft, perennial Pro Bowler, as I said earlier, and Walter Payton Man of the Year in 2014. This is a really, really good guy, great in the community of Charlotte. Good guy. Not so fast. So Thomas Davis tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, PED. First of all, this is a little bit shocking in that, you know, he's kind of older or wiser in his career in the NFL, so I'm a little surprised that he's doing it. Maybe that's why, because he's been doing drugs all the time. I got to say, and I'm not going to play the race card here, but, yeah, it's rare that a black linebacker, middle linebacker, is doing PED. So now, to me, his whole career comes in question. Not going to judge the guy. I mean, he did what he had to do. And he put this heartfelt video out on the internet saying, you know, I'm so sorry, and I've been taking the same enhancement for years, and it's never been a problem. No, Thomas Davis, you never got caught. So you sound like Tiger right there. You never got caught. So you finally got caught. So now you're going to lose four games, which, by the way, at his clip of money is millions of dollars. And you're only going to play, now your career is down to 12 games. You know, you're going to have to basically get your starting spot back. I see this being a really tough time and tough season and a bad way to go out for what everyone thought, and maybe he still is, a good guy. Let me move past those two depressing stories and go to the Philadelphia Sixers. The Sixers won their 13th straight game. They beat the Cavaliers 132-130. And I guess the story is, you know, we know what Villanova did on Monday night. Villanova, Philadelphia University, won the NCAAs. They won the national championship. We know what the Eagles did. Is this now the new hot spot for a sports fan? The city of Philadelphia? The dump that it is? They don't collect the trash? Like New York, by the way. Clean city, D.C. D.C.'s so clean. Anyway, but yeah, LeBron had a triple-double last night, and it didn't matter. It did not matter. LeBron had 44 points. It still didn't matter. The 76ers have won 13 straight games, and oh, by the way, the last five games without Joel Embiid. So without Joel, who has a fractured orbital bone, I don't know what that's like, but I can tell you I had a sinus headache last night that felt like a fractured orbital bone. So Joe's going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. They're still winning. They're cruising right along. They got the Dallas Mavericks coming up, which is a winnable game. They could go up to 14 games in a row. So who would have thought that? But maybe that's why I say when you draft and you play your young players, throw them out there, especially in basketball, because they really don't get hurt. On football, they can get hurt. But basketball, they really don't get hurt. Throw them out there and let them learn. And Ben Simmons now with Joel down and folks not really playing well still. He's still slow to mature. But Ben Simmons is maturing. And what I saw in this win was there was a big hug by Simmons and LeBron at the end of the game. And you know how these NBA players like whispering in each other's ears. Was that conversation saying, hey, I'm going to come join you guys next year and get you over the hump? Is that what LeBron is that what that hug was all about? I can tell you what, you put LeBron James on the Sixers, they win the NBA championship next year. There's no wait. They win it. That's something to keep your eye on. So we'll see what happens. So we could talk about that for a while, but anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a big jersey guy. I like collectibles. You know, I've collected refrigerator magnets, cans. I'm going to start a new collection here pretty soon I'll put that on another show. But one thing I never collected was jerseys. I've only purchased one jersey in my life, one purchase. Now, I may have borrowed some from the University of Pittsburgh from time to time. But that's a huge hint for what our pay attention topic is this week. There is only one jersey that I've ever purchased. And actually, I didn't purchase it. It was a gift. And guess who's back? He's back. Robert Griffin III, RG3, signed with my good buddy, John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens head football coach, Ozzie Newsome, in one more stroke of genius, RG3. Now, they're still going to draft a quarterback. Now, here's the thing. The Ravens are in the 16th spot, so they could wait at 16 and take, like, a Lamar Jackson. Who does Lamar Jackson remind you of? RG3, right, exactly. So you could bring RG3 in, veteran guy, he's had his bumps, bring in Lamar to sit behind him and kind of bring him along. Or they could compete for the number two and maybe have RG3 be the third stringer. Don't make him active, which means you don't have to pay him, but yet he could still be there to mentor and work with Lamar Jackson. Pretty smart move. Now, here's the other thing you could do if you're a Ravens fan, Ravens front office, is you could move up from 16, move up, get into maybe the top six, and get one of the big five quarterbacks that are out there. You could do that. But I can tell you, the writing's on the wall for Joe Flacco. As soon as it's over, he's done. He's out, gone. By the way, you know, he really doesn't make a lot of money. Remember when he won the Super Bowl, he beat Colin Kaepernick? He signed a monstrous contract that basically paid him $16 million a year. Well, $16 million a year. Just think, Daniel Cousins is making 28. So he's not – so Flacco's not making any money. So what my point is that it is a great, great pickup. I am loving it. But I'm still pulling for RG3. I still think, given the right set of circumstances, you know, and I think one way that he could help the Ravens, use him like the Steelers used Cordell Stewart back in the 90s. They called him Slash. You know, put him at tailback, throw him a toss, receiver, give him a reverse, send him on a deep ball as a wideout, and then put him at quarterback and run the Wildcat or run the option. I mean, I think if you play RG3, you get something out of RG3. If he sits there and he holds a clipboard, you know, his maturity may not allow him. He may not be humbled yet. Now, I think I see some humble pie in him. I see some humble pie in RG3, and I also see that he's part of a sound organization. See, sometimes, you know, we want to kind of pound our maturities in that, but you got to have the right infrastructure in place. You know, I learned that a long time ago. And the first time I was a CEO, I was only 28 years old. So fortunately for me, I had, you know, a chair of our board, who was my dad, right? I had board members, lawyers, accountants, that. So there was a sound infrastructure put in place. Well, RG3 hasn't had that when you look at the Redskins. I mean, that was a zoo. That was an absolute zoo. Cleveland, come on. Cleveland was a zoo, right? And some of the other places he's kicked around. So I think it's good that he's in Baltimore. Ozzie. Eric DeCastro, who's going to take Ozzie's place. He's the GM in waiting. Of course, John Harbaugh, who I know is a huge character guy. And then that locker room. You know, you still got Terrell Suggs, who's like a grandpa in that locker room. So you've got guys around that can help RG3. And I tell you, if Flacco struggles, I don't think they're going to wait four games in. I really don't. I think that Steve Bisciotti's got pressure on John Harbaugh. John's got to go to the playoffs. And probably got to win one game in order to keep his job. So I think if Robert has a good preseason, and we got to watch it real close because they're not going to play Flacco much. So RG3 will have that real good preseason, and, hey, he may have a shot. So RG3, if you're listening, I'm pulling for you. If you're not listening, I'm still pulling for you. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. That was our pay attention topic. We're going to come back and just get a little update and a review on our D.C. teams, on our D.C. sports teams. So, Chuck, take us out of here with a quick break. We need some money. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Mega Million, congratulations to them. If you would like to be a sponsor of the Extra Points Radio Show, we take nickels and dimes. So please contact me at coach@extrapointsllc.com to make your sponsorship. So DC Sports Update. Well, let's start with the Washington Capitals, who I have been saying, if you listen every week to the Extra Points Radio Show, some would argue that this show has its own ability to prophesize. Because I've been saying, basically since last season, if the Caps can stay under the radar, don't be picked as favorites, win a few games, lose. Win some games, lose. Beat the Penguins, lose to the Predators. Beat the Flyers, lose to the Islanders. Here and there, if they could just stay under the radar, then they get in the playoffs. If they can avoid the Penguins, which I've changed my mind on that, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second, they can now survive in advance. They're Metropolitan Division champions, so they're going to have home ice advantage. Next thing you know, they're in the Stanley Cup Finals, just like that. That's the secret. So the other thing that they did was they stayed healthy, and it starts with the captain, Ovi. Ovechkin has played or will play in all 82 games this year. That's huge. But they got four or five other guys that will have played in all 82 games. So want to stay healthy these last handful of games and stay healthy throughout the playoffs. If they do that, again, they survive in advance. They keep it moving. Now, they had a tough loss to the Predators the other night, 4-3. That game was like a Stanley Cup final. It really was. And, you know, P.K. Subban's only been at the Capital One Arena once a year, and I was not able to get out to see P.K. And if there's anybody I'm all right with beating the Caps, it's P.K. Subban. However, they were to get to the Stanley Cup final, I don't see the Caps as a favorite, which is good because that's when they can bite the Predators. So, you know, that loss the other night, not a bad loss by no means. The Caps are not the favorites anymore, and this is great. You know who's actually been teased about being a favorite is this new Las Vegas Knights team. This is the best expansion team ever. Basically, they took the third or fourth best player on every NHL team and put them on this team. So this is kind of like a B-level all-star team, and they've come together. The chemistry's real good. People like them a lot. Of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning are always out there. People are talking about them. You cannot forget the Pittsburgh Penguins, defending Stanley Cup champions multiple times over, to include back-to-back. But here's my thing. I've changed on the Penguins. I think that this Penguin team, quiet as kept, is not as good. I just don't think they're as good. Or let me say it this way. Not as hungry Penguin teams. Now, they could get into this playoff, and if they draw the Caps in the first round, they could go, oh, well, we're winning this. Because we can't forget what has happened year after year after year, where this team has owned the Caps in the playoffs and, you know, quite honestly, in the regular season too. So I guess what was a little scary for me this week was hearing Caps captain, he's a captain as well with Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, Nicky Backstrom, Big Nose Backstrom, as Sanford and Son would say. Backstrom said, if you look at our playoff record, it can't get any worse. Close quote. That kind of quote didn't sound real confident. So, you know, confidence is a state of mind, and his state of mind right now is losing, and nobody wants that going into the playoffs. So, Nicky Backstrom, you're a leader on the team. If you're listening, man, get your big nose straight and get this thing done right and bring home a Stanley Cup. Come on now, don't give me that. It can't get worse. It can get better. That's what you should be saying. Look at our playoff record. It will get better. Come on, Nicky Backstrom. All right. How about the Wiz Kids? Once again, on this show, the Extra Points Radio Show, Coach Howard has said time and time and time again that the Wizards are not good. They will go from the fourth seed to the eighth seed. I started saying that in October, preseason. Well, they lost to the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks, the worst team in the Eastern Conference. They are now eighth in the Eastern Conference standing, the Wizards, eighth. Just like I said, they've lost four straight games. They've lost bad losses. They had Cleveland down by – Cleveland was down 16 with 6 minutes left, and Bron just took over, dunked all on them, shot threes all over them. Awful. Four straight losses. Four. The Rockets just blew them out. That was never a game. So, once again, we already know where this storyline is going. They – will not advance in the first round. They have to play Toronto, who, by the way, doesn't scare anybody. Lowry, I get it. DeRozan, I get it. They don't scare. The Wizards won't beat them. Matter of fact, I got that going 4-1. They'll win that one game just to not get swept. It'll be 3-0 because Toronto will win both games in Toronto, and then the Wizards will lay an egg at Capital One Arena. It'll be 3-0. And then the crowd, they'll give away white towels or something Leontis will do instead of paying his employees more. He'll do that, and then the people will, you know, drink way too much of those $10 beers, and they'll scream real loud, and they'll squeak out a win, and then they'll go back to Toronto and get blown out after the Canadian national anthem. So, Scott Brooks killed him yesterday in his presser. I mean, he just said, bottom line, we're selfish. And I can tell you, selfishness will eat you alive. It will. It'll eat you up. And when you're in a team environment, and this is why I don't know what they're going to do, because they didn't handle the Wall, Beal, Porter thing properly. Now they've locked everybody in the contract. What they're going to have to do is not necessarily blow this thing up, but what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to just focus on the bench. And that's what I would do. I would look at who my four and five are going to be, because you got to get rid of Markieff Morris. And you got to get rid of Martin Gortat. You got to get rid of them fast. Upgrade them athletically, right? You just got to get younger, more athletic players. But I think you got to really go back to the bench and invest in the bench. This bench isn't good. I said it would pan out to be worse than last year's bench, and it is. It is. I mean, Kelly Oubre. I looked at a crazy stat the other day. Kelly Oubre is one of 26 in his last five games from three-point range. One of 26 for a guy that wore a red suit and red shoes and was drafted number one in the first round? Give me a break. That's terrible. So I think this Wizards team, again, not going to blow them up, not going to do that, but oof, one and done, first round and they're over. Let me talk a little baseball here and the Nats. And by the way, I got one eye open on the Orioles, who look to be doing pretty well up there in Baltimore and Charm City. And we'll give them some love next week. But the Nats, let's face it. Let's just face it. We're less than 10 games into the season. The Mets are good. Yeah, the Mets are good. So they're healthy. And this has been the thing with the Mets for the last couple of years. They haven't been healthy. And New York fan is hard on Mets, hard on them. They're hard on all their teams. But they have not been healthy. When you lose Syndergaard for the year and you lose Cespedes for like half the year, you're done. I mean, you're done. It's like football. You lose your starting quarterback, I don't care what level it is, you are done. The chances of you doing anything are none and none. So, except for, of course, Nick Foles. Okay, I got it. Eagle fan, relax. So, to win the World Series again, so they've got the capital syndrome. They got to not be favored. But I got to tell you something. I see them going into the playoffs as a wild card. The Mets will probably win the NL East. I'm telling you. I'm saying it now, so that when people, when we get to the fall, September, people will remember. I can just play this clip over again, because that's what's going to happen. Already there's an injury. Already, Adam Eaton, who was hurt on opening day last year, missed the whole season. Now he's got a minor ankle injury, so it's just a little tweak. I don't even think they're going to put him on the disabled list. They're just going to rest it and get him back in the lineup. Turner got ejected from a game. Trey Turner? Come on. Like, what's going on? Something's going on. So I don't know. Maybe we got to get used to this new manager. And remember, this new manager has a different management style from, you know, what we're accustomed to. Dusty was old school. This guy is all about analytics, computers, and playing percentages, numbers. This any other. I just don't know if you can run a Major League Baseball team that way. We'll see. But they did do one thing that I thought was interesting. They signed general manager Mike Rizzo, who should be the general manager for life, by the way. This guy does a great, great job, because everyone knows the Learners don't want to pay. They don't want to pay any money for their sports team. So he has to work within that. But yet, you know, you're in a major media market in D.C., the people expect a winner and expect a certain quality. And so Mike Rizzo has been able to do that. Well, they signed him. They gave him an extension so that there wouldn't be any issue about, cause his contract was expiring at the end of this season. So like Dusty, we didn't want that hanging over, you know, over the head. And then this should show all of you something about sports, big time sports. If they really want you, they're going to just sign you and pay you the money. If they don't, they'll drag you along. And that's what they did to Dusty Baker. They, we don't want to talk about it right now. That's what they did to Kirk Cousins. We don't want to talk about it right now. Let's keep negotiating. No. When you're negotiating, you put a time frame on that thing. You say, hey, look, yes, no, or let's keep talking. But you can't talk for so long. They don't want you. And if they want you, they want you for cheap. Don't sell yourself short. So, anyway, they signed Rizzo through 2020. Now, while that sound good, they only signed the guy for two more seasons. This guy, you just heard me say, Mike Rizzo should be the general manager for life. He's been their only general manager. He's done a great job. No, he hasn't been their only one. There's one before him. But he's done a great job. And to just only sign in for 2 years tells me it's like Kirk Cousins. It's like franchising a guy. We're going to give you another year or two, but we don't want to marry you. That's what they're saying. And that's not cool. And that needs to be fixed, and it will be. So good job, Rizzo. All right, let me talk. One more thing on that. So the Nats basically got swept by the Braves. That took some swagger away from the Nats, which might be a good thing. It might be a good thing. And they're 1.5 games back in a very early, early season. But the fact that they're not on top, again, it's that cap syndrome. The Nats need to slide under the radar, make sure they're in the playoffs. Maybe just as a wild card and then get hot and just go ahead and go through the Braves and Mets that way. So we'll see what happens. What about the Redskins? So this week they signed Kevin Hogan, who came to them from the Cleveland Browns. So thank God for Kevin that he gets out of Cleveland. For those of you that don't know, Kevin Hogan was a quarterback at Stanford just a few years ago. and did an outstanding job at Stanford. And then, of course, was at Gonzaga. And little known story, but Coach Howard actually recruited Kevin Hogan to come to Catholic University. And I remember going out and seeing him play and meeting him and everything, knowing that he was a Division I player. And I was coming from a Division III school. But, hey, you never know. We had a running back, Greg Brown from the University of Maryland. We were able to get him over at Catholic. So you never know. So I was like, hey, it's worth it. The Gonzaga was right down the street from Catholic to go down and meet Kevin Hogan. Great, great kid, great family. And I'm glad to see him with the Redskins. And let me tell you, he's better than a third string quarterback. He really is. Now, I think that they're pretty stuck on Colt McCoy, but I believe Colt McCoy's contract ends next year. So, you know, maybe they're grooming Kevin Hogan to be that backup. So we'll see what happens with that. But a couple other moves. What are they going to do in the draft? So they need some help on defense. Bad. Oh, my goodness, they need help. They DBs is where they really need it. You know, they got rid of Sewell Cravens, and I'm okay with that. But they basically have one DB, in my opinion, and that's DJ Swearinger. And that's just because he cares. He flies around. He works really, really hard. He's not the best cover guy on the planet. But he's one of those safeties, the Earl Thomas-type guys, real athletic, going to hit you real hard back there. But they have no corners, in my opinion. Josh Norman was on TMZ the other day. Josh Norman looks like I looked when I was like 13. I mean, he is puny, this guy. And he's not worth the money. He hasn't. How many interceptions did he have? Like, he's just not all that at all. They got no corners. So I think they need to draft a corner from the SEC. Okay, draft him from the SEC. I'm telling you the blueprint. And then start him right away. Just start him and let him get beat. That's what you do. You bring him in there. He doesn't know anything about football except don't let your guy catch the ball. That's all he needs to know. And let him grow and learn over. And let him turn into your number one corner. And then draft another corner. Make him your nickel corner. And have that guy prepare to replace Josh Norman down the road. That's what you do on that one. Now, they got some other issues in the first round of the draft. What are they going to do in the first round? Do they go and get Darius Geis from LSU and make him the starting running back? If you do that, then you're basically saying that the backs that you had and you drafted in the past, they were busts. I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm not huge on Darius Geis. I think he'll be good somewhere. He does kind of fit Jay Gruden's style of a running back. But I think they need more help than running back. You can find a running back anywhere. So I'm not with that one. Now, here's what they could do. They picked 13. If the Ravens are interested in Lamar Jackson at 16, could the Redskins go ahead and take him at 13? Right? Now, here's a guy I wasn't high on during his career. I wasn't high on him in the some of the All-Star College Bowl games. I wasn't high on him at the Combine. But for some reason, I want him around. I don't know why. I think it's because he wins. Now, you want to talk about exudes confidence. He's got confidence. He's charismatic. I just could see him, you know, and I know if they drafted him, people are going to say, oh, here's another RG3. I think from a maturity standpoint, he's further along. I really do. I think he's more equipped for the pro game than RG3 was. RG3 was a track guy at Baylor who all of a sudden stumbled on some success in a gimmick offense and then got into the NFL. But Lamar Jackson's been a steady picture in at Louisville. And the guy won the Heisman as a junior against a pretty talented field. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that one. So, they got some decisions to make. Of course, they got Chris Thompson coming back, so that'll be good. So we'll see what happens. So, hey, that's our roundup for D.C. sports. And for those of you that aren't in D.C., you know, hey, oh well. Go, let's do a show in somewhere else. I'm a homer through and through. Before we bring in our fitness guru, Fit With Joy, through our segment on WWE, I did also want to make mention that this past year I celebrated a birthday. And I don't make a ton of pomp and circumstance around my birthday. I never have. I mean, pomp and circumstance for me is it's usually during WrestleMania. but this year was kind of special for one reason. I was born the day before Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And I mentioned that last week. And just looking at all the tribute shows and all the marches and the parades and this and that, you know, I'm really blessed. I'm really, really blessed to be able to even say that I was born at a tumultuous time. And so really the celebration for me was that, just celebrating life. Like, wow, I mean, this thing is precious and it's wonderful. And I'm glad to be here. So I just want to lift up a bottled water to all of those who reached out to me, both family and friend and foe, to reach out to me and wish me a happy birthday. I really do appreciate that someone else would take 3 seconds out of their day to say, hey, we're glad you're here and we celebrate it. And so I appreciate that. So happy birthday to Coach Howard. I don't do that often, but I'm doing it now. All right, very good. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. Chuck will play us some music. And then when we come back, Joy Henry, Fit with Joy. Now, I don't know what I'm walking into here. We give her some latitude during her segments, but I'm going to be asked these lightning round questions. I know the WWE is having WrestleMania this weekend, and for $9.99, you can go to the WWE Network. Sound like Triple H. And get and be able to watch that streaming on your phone. So anyway, we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. One of them is this Ronda Rousey from the UFC is coming, and she's going to fight Kurt Angle, which reminds me. The Kurt Angle clip, because that one is a pretty good segue, usually for Super Referee Craig Muckle, but in this case, Kurt Angle is going to team with Ronda Rousey to go up against Triple H, COO of WWE, and Stephanie McMahon, the executive vice president. So it's going to be interesting to see how that match pans out, and to discuss all things that are WWE. We're going to bring in our favorite, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry. Joy, are you there?
Fit with Joy here. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. So it is a big weekend this weekend, huge weekend down in NOLA, down in Nolan. Tell us, what do you got for me this week? I'm walking into uncharted waters here, but I'm going to answer some questions that you're going to ask me. I hope I get the answers right. What you got for me?
Well, I did wrestle, emphasis on wrestle, with the questions to ask you. because, you know, we're big fans of the WWE, and there's so many things that they do that throw their fans off kilter. But I like how you talked about Stephanie McMahon and what they have in store, specifically herself. So if you know, the last time she wrestled physically in the ring?
You mean Stephanie?
Stephanie McMahon, yes, Vince's daughter.
Yeah, I think that would have been maybe about 4 years ago at a WrestleMania.
Good job. See, I knew you were on it. Now, actually, to be somewhat comparable to Ronda Rousey, she hasn't been in her tip-top shape in 11 years. So you have to put those things into perspective. She's going against, I mean, she has her partner alongside her, Triple H, and then she's going against two Olympians. So she talked about her fitness regimen and trying to get back into shape. Mind you, she has three children. She's 41 years old. So at this point in her life, she's doing what her father did, which is stepping up the ante, putting herself out there, and still being able to gather all that attention. The WWE is still on the entertainment, just prowess.
Wow, you know, I did not know that. I didn't know she was 41 years old. She looks amazing for 41 years old. I think those two work out together. That's probably why. And then, of course, she has three kids. I didn't know that either. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew she was a mom, but I didn't know three times over. And, oh, by the way, she's like heir to the throne from her dad's billion-dollar conglomerate. So that's pretty cool. Now, let me ask you a question real quick. Does this really show how phony, and I don't like to use that word, but how can she have all these things to do and then be removed over a decade and still come out and put on a good show? Is that realistic?
Well, that's the classic, quintessential entertainment, just phenomenon that the WWE is. And I read some articles and did some research that every entity, every particular person, even the fans play a role. The whole hysteria through the chants, like you just had the "You Suck" that turns into Kurt Angle's coming out music, to people not even being interested in the matches. And that could also be a part of the production and working behind the scenes and media and seeing how people can incite the crowd, get them to say things, and then it starts trending on Twitter. And so in some ways, I'm sure if someone's in a match, and I think we watched one some weeks ago or months ago where a person's spouse, significant others in the crowd, and they're shouting Rusev Day or vice versa, things of that nature, you know? So what's catchy? If there's crickets in the crowd, then that's not good. So silence, in a sense, as the saying goes, is deadly. So I think that Stephanie McMahon and Triple H know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to reinvigorate the old days of where their father would go out there and get in the face or all these different incriminating things happening. And Ronda Rousey, she's faced some, literally and physically, some tough times. She hasn't been wrestling. She hasn't been in any MMA fights in a long while. And this lead up to her new transition, and that's what the WWE does. It's funny how they're doing it a different way, and women are being historic, where she goes from being in an MMA, UFC, to the WWE, and most people leave the WWE to go to Hollywood. So I see how they're trying to encompass the whole entire entertainment industry.
Interesting. All right, very good. What's the next question?
Well, I think as far as sponsorships, we talk about business, you talk about money, money, money. And what better way down in New Orleans? Did you know that the actual stadium that they hold their event at, this one particular WWE's WrestleMania, is called Smoothie King? And you know I love Smoothie King.
Well, you know, I know you love Smoothie King, but I was aware that I think it's the Smoothie King Arena. Is that what it is?
It is. It is the Smoothie King Arena. The New Orleans Pelicans play there. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I wonder if people will be in the crowd outside the city with smoothies.
I got to be honest, I kept that little nugget from you so that you wouldn't race down there to line up for a smoothie and a wrestling ticket. So good, good. Yes, I did know that one. So, hey, I'm doing all right. I'm not doing as bad as I thought I would. So,
you see, I told you I wrestled. I was giving you a little filler out there. Just as far as, again, going back to the UFC and WWE, Brock Lesnar, what do you see his future? I mean, they have him with Roman Reigns, and we know that, well, you and I know, and I've watched many matches with you on television to say you don't see why they keep trying to push Roman Reigns. What do you think is the outcome of this particular match in WrestleMania?
A great question. Couple things. Thing one is, I think the locker room is starting to get a little frustrated with the work ethic of Brock Lesnar and the way his contract is written, which is, you know, gone are the days of working 364 days a year, which is what Ric Flair did. And, you know, Lesnar's built a nice little contract where he gets paid the most and works the least. So his appearances are very slim. He's rarely on Monday Night Raw and this and that. And Roman Reigns actually made it part of a shoot interview on Raw a couple weeks ago that, hey, you know, this guy doesn't work as hard as we do, kind of thing. So I think the locker room's getting a little frustrated. I think that's a real-life storyline, that if Brock doesn't work more, Vince is going to have to deal with that. But here's – I'm going to answer you specifically, and let's see how prophetic I am. There's a guy named Bobby Lashley who used to wrestle in the WWE, and he was good. I mean, big, muscular guy. Great athlete. He's got all the, you know, he's not quite had the mic skills, but he's a former UFC guy. And him and Brock had a really good feud in UFC. Well, right now, his contract just ended with New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's really not doing anything. Do not be surprised if he either shows up at WrestleMania or Raw on Monday night, and that's the new program for Brock Lesnar. Again, Vince tapping into the success of the UFC. So that's what I think. Now, we'll see what happens. The future is to be seen on the answer to that question, but I think I nailed it. We'll see.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you see, as far as I'll plug myself here again, knowing the tenacity and the training regimen that it takes to be a superstar, get in the realm of that, you could check me out on YouTube, Joy Henry Tough Enough. That was a series. I like how they do those things where the performance center isn't involved, and they have the capacity to take all kinds of athletes. So, as I said, the entertainment prowess that they are, they will go out there and have different walks of life. You might not even be an athlete, but you have that charisma, which is part of it, the acting ability. And so I think that's pretty neat that you are able to see that Brock Lesnar and his ability to wrestle, be an actual wrestler in college, and the Hollywood person that he is. And I think it's interesting, though, that his work ethic, that they're getting frustrated with it, because that's number one, you know, talent beaten if they don't work hard, you know. So that saying goes, hard work beats talent when talent, in a sense, is lazy, for that matter, or you get a little bit too big-headed for yourself. So I think that's pretty neat that you were able to draw those conclusions. And I think, you know, more predictions involved. This is a little one out there where this is kind of similar to after the match is done and the person's hoisting the belt, and then out of nowhere someone just comes and throws them over the ring or something like that. Emma, you remember Emma?
And, I absolutely remember. One of the goofiest characters ever.
Exactly. But why would I know that we've come into contact with someone who made a comment who's not quite in the WWE, like that level yet, but they're in NXT, and we won't say any names because we want to give them a free publicity. If they want to get a sponsorship going, then we can start dropping names. But you and I both know who we're talking about. This particular individual mm-hmm. is a tech staff and is not sad for their leaving. Emma's leaving. So now Emma, though, is doing pretty good, what we see. I still don't know quite why she was taken from the WWE. Do you know? Could you enlighten our fans on that, or the audience?
Sure. So first, let's comment on her current. The Ring of Honor is also having
exactly.
a huge huge event in New Orleans this weekend, going right up against the WWE, but they don't look at it as going up against. They look at it as, hey, we just want to be kind of around. Just like they're fans, right? And they just want to be around, and I think that's great. Emma basically is you know, way up the card. I mean, she's not the main event, but she's way up the card. She's going by her real name right now, which I think is pretty cool. That shows that even being in the WWE for a little while and not being very successful still, you know, ultimately got her going. I don't know what her specifics were around them not re-upping her contract. I do know that they had packaged her in different gimmicks, and none of the gimmicks worked, and they all failed miserably. And I believe that they just kind of got tired of, you know, they didn't know what to do with her. And sometimes what Vince will do is he'll take you off television for a while to try and repackage you. Do not be surprised if The Undertaker shows up tomorrow night with the biker gimmick and not the Undertaker gimmick to face John Cena. Don't be surprised. So that kind of thing. So I think they tried those with Emma, and it just didn't pan out. Now, if there's something further than that, and there very well could be, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes rumor and innuendo that could possibly have come up in her demise. But I think she's going to bounce back. I think she's going to be just fine. And, oh, by the way, for the record, when we talk about money, some of these indie folks make more money than the lower-level WWE. Now, they do it the hard way. They go from high school and town to town. But, you know, $375 here, you know, $250 there, $500 over there. Next thing you know, you've had a pretty good week. And you're independent. You know, you just kind of call your own shots and your own schedule. And if your car can get you there, it's a good way to make a living. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I know an indie guy that made, he used to be in the WWE. He was called the Hurricane. And he was making probably $60,000 with the WWE as not a jobber, but not quite a main event guy. He made $300,000 on the indie circuit. He did it the hard way, but I'd rather make $300,000 than $60,000.
Right, right. And speaking along the lines of women and Emma and making money and going where she can get that cash, even if it was she got a kick in the butt out of the door from another place, she still was able to use same kind of clout. As far as the honors, the Hall of Fame, and women getting their due as they've been in the industry in some form of fashion, but more getting that notoriety. You have Lita at the Hall of Fame. You have all different names. I mean, even the youngsters were there, the ones that are coming of age, trying to get some kind of piece touch of the cloth to be able to see what it is nowadays. So I know that as far as Ronda Rousey and as far as Stephanie McMahon, you know, you have Sasha Banks and you have Becky Lynch, Bayley. What do you see, especially now that they're at that particular echelon, but they haven't quite got there yet because the main event, they're not being portrayed there. They're actually on the pre-show. What does that say to you? What do you think about the mindset behind that?
Right. So I think they've taken huge, huge strides from the days of the Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young and even Wendy Richter and Leilani Kai. They've made some huge strides. But I think until they have their own show, their own weekly episodic show, and they're doing it on the reality side with Total Divas and Total and Bellas, Total Bellas. So they got two shows on E. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having like NXT has its own weekly episodic show. The Cruiserweights have theirs called 250, and then of course Raw and SmackDown. I think until the women's division and the women's superstars have their weekly show, that's when to me they've arrived. And maybe 4 pay-per-views a year or something along those lines. I think that's when they have totally arrived. But the people you've named could headline. If you look at Asuka and Charlotte Flair, that's going to be better than any match tomorrow night. That's much anticipated. When you look at Kim Possible, who's going to put her WWE Raw Women's title up against Nia Jax, that's a David and Goliath match. So exactly. That's a big, big deal. So yeah, so I think they're very, very close. Speaking of very, very close, and thank you, Joy Henry, Fit with Joy. Thank you so much. I got to segue over now to our predictions because I'm close to getting to 500. So I'm going to need your help with some of these predictions here. Here's what I got. Mets Nationals today. What say you?
Well, I'm here in the Big Apple. I'm going to go. I'm not just a New Yorker, but I am from Queens, and they are in my backyard. So I'm going to go with the Mets.
Don't be surprised. I'm going with the Mets as well, Mets over Nets. And tomorrow they play at 8 o'clock on ESPN, so it's the game of the week. Who you got tomorrow? You got the Mets winning two in a row, or you got the Nets?
Hold away. They just smashed them that last game. So, Mets hold away.
I'm with you. Okay. All right. Then we swing over to New Jersey. We got the New Jersey Devils and Washington Capitals. They're in New Jersey. Cats don't really. It's a meaningless game for them. What say you?
Tri-state area, get them in New York and that kind of thing. I'm just going to go with the New Jersey Devils, like you said. The Nats win one, drop one, and even if you're my employer in a sense, I'm going with the opposer now that I'm up here in New York for the time being. So just the Devils. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Well, I got the same thing. So we're 3-for-3. I'm going with the Devils. I think the Caps rest some guys. It's a meaningless game for them. Celtics, Wiz Kids really struggling. You heard me mention that earlier. They're down to 8th, as I predicted. Who you got in that one?
Celtics, even if Kyrie's no longer going to be able to be a pivotal player, I think that the team just finds a way to beat them like they did last year.
Well, as The Rock would say, it doesn't matter whether Kyrie plays or not. They're going to beat the Wizards. And then the Wizards wrap up there's the Orlando Magic. Who you got there?
I think that the Wizards will squeak this one out. You know, the Orlando Magic, like you said, it's like they'll probably just put whoever out there and just go off into the
They've got their golf
clubs.
Yeah, they got their golf clubs packed. They're ready to go. So I got the Wizards in that one too. The Wizards need a win just to get something positive going. And then lastly, this one is a yes/no prediction. Tiger Woods winning the Masters.
Wow, that one was a match that just came out of nowhere in the stands. It's not even a WWE wrestler, it's some fans. Oh, man. Tiger Woods, it's a good story. I would love for him to win the Masters. That'd be great. I'm just going to go with it. Tiger's going to win it. Just say it. Put it in the atmosphere.
Okay. All righty. Very
yes.
good. Well,
yes.
Like.
Yes.
Like Thomas Davis, we need to check you for a performance enhancement drug. There's no chance of Tiger winning the Masters. No way in the world. Let me do a quick 2-minute warning. And the quick 2-minute warning, we'll go back to, again, what I said earlier. I want to thank everyone, and to include you, Joy, for all the birthday wishes that were given during the week. But I just want to say to everybody else, you know, life is so precious. And so while you're here and you're living it, enjoy it. Hey, visit us on the website, www.extrapointsllc.com, at Extra Points LLC. Joy, you want to give your Twitter?
Yeah, you can catch me at Joy Hilarity. Yes, H-I-L-A-R-I-T-Y, Joy Hilarity.
You got it. It's a little cold and chilly, not quite the blossoms in that bloom, but it's not warm weather yet. So if you want to sit back and read a book, get the book, Extra Points, The Life of My Story. And, hey, we had a great show. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, the extra point is up.
And it is off the top rope, going, flying good.
Yes, yes, yes.